Good morning, everybody. Good morning. A very warm welcome to all of you this morning, especially those of you that are visiting us for this very special day. A little bit of housekeeping just before I start, for those of you that don't know. Toilets you can find at the front of the building to the left. Please use those today to prevent any clogging up at the back. Fire exits, front and straight through that door. We're not expecting a fire drill, so if you hear a whistle, move. That's all the housekeeping. Church members, it is your last opportunity to give me nominations for deacons. I will extend this to Saturday night at 6 p.m. If you are going to nominate this week, it needs to come to my door, please, 139 Union Street. Andrew Skinner is willing to be nominated again for one final year as treasurer. And Matt Moore, Amy Tucker and Graham Thomas are also willing to stand again if nominated as deacon. So one more week to get your nominations in by 6 o'clock Saturday, please. One last thing, there are two cards in the on the table in the meeting room. Before you leave today, please make sure you've put your name in both cards so that Isabel and Trevor Lee know who was here today to witness their baptism. Okay, so please, before you go, even if you've written your own card, if you can put your name in there so that they know who saw and be baptised today. Okay, thank you.
Well, good morning. Now, please excuse me this morning if I'm not as jumpy as I normally am. We don't want any splashes before the due time, so I'll try not to be too nervous this morning as I try desperately not to enter the water before I need to. Today is an exciting day, isn't it? It's a day when we are celebrating baptism. And I've put a verse on the screen just to open with, which is a verse from Galatians, Paul writing, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Let's just have a word of prayer and then we're going to sing a couple of songs and worship together. Heavenly Father, we gather on this day, this special day, to worship you. Thank you, God, that you dwell with us every minute of every day. And on this day, when we celebrate with those who are getting baptized, I ask that you baptize us all afresh with your Holy Spirit as we now continue in our worship of you. We welcome you, Jesus, here amongst us this morning. In your name, amen. We're going to stand and we're going to sing our opening couple of songs, Praises Rising and The Splendour of the King. Words will be on the screen. Join in and let's worship our God together.
Welcome you here, Lord Jesus. your presence, all our fears are washed away, they're washed away. Find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away. They're washed away.
See how great,
how great is our God.
when thinking this morning about baptism and about what that means, I thought it'd be great to watch a video this morning. Just a couple of minutes. This is Jesus' baptism.
Come and see the baptism of Jesus. This is Jesus.
Heyo!
Who's the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Jesus was born in Bethlehem and grew up in Nazareth, where he grew in wisdom and favor with God and man.
Oh, I see.
This is John the Baptist.
Hey!
John loved God with his whole heart.
Hey, are you?
And he told everyone that the Savior of the world was coming soon.
Wow! Come on.
John baptized people in the Jordan River.
Woo-hoo!
And one day, Jesus went to this river to be baptized by John.
Hold on.
But John tried to talk him out of it. Jesus said, "It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires."
Okay.
So John baptized Jesus. And as Jesus came out of the water, the heavens opened and John saw the Holy Spirit coming down as a dove and resting on Jesus. A voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." And John knew, without any doubt, that this was the one they had all been waiting for. This was the chosen one of God who would take away the sin of the world.
So baptism then reminds us that just like water washes us clean, Jesus came to wash away the sin of the world. And of course, baptism is our public declaration of faith by following Jesus. We're going to sing one more song before we come to our prayers and our reading. And it's a song that Isabel has chosen. My Jesus, my Saviour. Let's stand and let's sing this together.
Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you.
Let's pray together. Gracious God, maker of the heavens and the earth, thank you for the beauty that we find in creation. That in amongst all the pain and hurt within our world, we can still find you. And this morning we continue to pray for peace in those places that we have turned into war. Lord, give those in authority wisdom and provide a way out of the fighting and conflict for those innocently caught up in the chaos and the turmoil. And for all those that have lost family, friends, their homes and neighbourhoods, we pray for your guiding hand of love to watch over and protect them from further harm. Bring an end to the fighting, especially in Gaza and Ukraine, and show mercy to all those involved. Lord, we pray for our local communities that you would help us to show love and compassion to all those that need it. For all the events and meetings that occur in this place throughout the week, and for all those that are involved in leadership, let your light shine through them as they continue to show your love. Place your protection around this very building and around all the places we seek to meet and share your gospel. We pray for the people we know who need God's healing touch today. Lord, touch with your healing power all who are sick. Grant them peace amidst pain, confidence in your wisdom, and the ability to draw strength from the knowledge that underneath are your everlasting arms. And we pray for those that are getting baptized this morning, a special time in their lives where they're following in obedience to your calling and leading. Be with them as they share their faith stories a little later. Help us all to encourage and support them as they take this step of faith. So, Lord Jesus, be with us in all things as we lay these prayers at your feet. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Bible reading this morning is from the Gospel of John. And it's the first 10 verses of chapter 10. And it reads like this. I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. And the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger, They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use his illustration didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers. But the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Before I just unpack that a little more this morning, we're going to sing a really great hymn, baptismal hymn. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. So let's stand and let's sing this baptismal hymn together. Thank you, Brian. Please be seated. Now, I wonder how many of you ever remember watching the TV programme One Man and His Dog. A series which saw farmers and their dogs pitted against each other in sheepdog trials. Invariably, several sheep would start at one end of a hilly field, and the farmer would instruct his dogs by whistles and shouts of "Stay!" and "Come by!" herding the sheep down the hillside along a predetermined path. And as we all know, if you've seen the programme, things didn't always go according to plan. And the commentator often said with a gleeful smile in his voice, "Oh, look at them sheep, they've gone the wrong way." And of course the trial ended when the last sheep ended in the pen and the farmer closed the gate with a resounding clang, normally to much applause from the watching crowd. The sheep were all safe in the pen with the gate closed, thanks to the guiding shepherd and his animals. And in our Bible passage today, we see Jesus use some shepherding illustrations to describe himself. In the first five verses of the chapter that we read, Jesus is picking up from where he left off at the end of the previous chapter, where we see him calling the Pharisees blind. He is again addressing the Jewish leaders, calling them thieves and robbers, trying to get at the sheep through means other than passing through the rightful opening. And leading priests could become quite wealthy by controlling the temple proceeds, doing such things as cheating widows out of their meagre savings. And like many occasions recorded in the gospel accounts, those that were listening to Jesus and his teaching failed actually to understand what he was actually saying. So, in like so many other places, he had to explain it to them. Open hillsides could be a very scary place for shepherds and for sheep, especially at night. Shepherds would often make makeshift pens with piles of rocks and thorns on the top to stop wild animals getting in. They would then sleep across the opening, effectively becoming the gate for the sheep. And it's here in verse 7 that Jesus likens himself to the gate. And this is the third "I am" saying as written in John's Gospel. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep." Jesus here saying that he is the true gate to salvation. In contrast to those leaders who are pretending to bring people to God. A gate then, which is the marker or crossing point between spaces. It's a threshold which can be traversed. And Jesus is the gate which moves us from a place of death and destruction to a place of life and security. There is no other way in. The Bible tells us that you cannot find salvation in anything else or anyone else other than Jesus. Trying any other way will only rob us of a real relationship with Jesus himself. And we can hunt for happiness and fulfillment in so many things. And whilst we might get a moment or two of joy, it doesn't last. The pleasure of driving a new car off the garage forecourt today only leads to it being second-hand tomorrow. And many are already thinking of their next purchase. My youngest son gets a great deal of pleasure from riding roller coasters. And he's ridden most of the UK's biggest, fastest, and scariest coasters. But the adrenaline rush only lasts for a moment. And he is enviously awaiting this very moment for Hyperia, which will be the UK's highest coaster to open in May. Standing at a massive 236 feet tall, it will reach speeds of over 80 miles an hour. Call him bonkers, and I have. It's on his list of things to do over the summer. Searching for the next thing. The next thrill. The next thing to try and satisfy. But you know, with Jesus, there is no next thing. Verse 10 says that his purpose is to give those within the fold a rich and satisfying life. Simply put, Jesus satisfies where nothing else will. He is the one constant, the only person who will never let you down. He is the gate which is open and available to us all. And today is a special day. It's a day of baptism. A day where here two people, like so many of us, have reached that point in their walk with Jesus. That means that baptism is the next logical step in their faith journey. But this morning you may be wondering what this baptism thing is all about. What is this strange thing that Christians do with water? And why do we here get totally wet? Well, it's a recognition that Jesus is the gateway to salvation. Identifying with him in his death and resurrection. And making a public declaration of a faith and trust in him. It is a reminder to us all of the realization that we need to die to self. And this is not a one-off dying, but a continual daily process. Our old life has been buried with Jesus, symbolically recognized as we go under the water. And we are washed clean and brought up to new life. A life that is rich, and a life that is satisfying. A life that is full of the Holy Spirit, God living inside of us. How did the Apostle Paul put it? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. And baptism not only marks an end of something, it also marks a beginning. And it's a new calling into Jesus' mission. Of course, we remember and we've seen the video of Jesus' baptism. And of course, Jesus wasn't being baptized to have his sins forgiven, washed away. Jesus was perfect. He was sinless. But for Jesus, of course, it was a commissioning, a calling and a beginning of his public ministry. And baptism calls us as individuals into the mission of the church. Here, helping people of all ages to find and follow Jesus and being equipped to do just that. It's an exciting moment. Not just for Trev and for Isabel, but for all of us here as we witness and give thanks to God for their step of faith in following Jesus. And as we now begin to prepare to step into this, what I hope is going to be warm water, I'm going to play a song that actually talks of baptism. I don't know how many of you know it, but the first verse reads, baptized in water, sealed by the fire, washed by forgiveness, born to new life, into a family placed in belonging, buried with Christ, now raised to life. Sing hallelujah. As we play, those that are going to step into the waters, they can begin to get ready. And then once the song is finished, we will listen to a bit of their faith stories. And we're going to baptize them this morning. So sit and listen. Join in if you pick it up.
Thank you. that you will fill them with your Spirit as they share a little of their life story. Be with them and with us as we follow your command to baptize. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Right, where is Trev? She's a runner.
This is the bit I've been dreading. Okay. Okay. For those of you that don't know, my name is Trevely Panter, and I was born in Arnold, Nottingham, the fifth child out of six. The four elder siblings were all christened, but myself and my younger sister were never christened. My mother came from quite a religious family. And when the Hill Girls offered to take us to church, Mum was so grateful she let them take us to church, only to find out later that it was the wrong sort of church. My mother was brought up in the Methodist faith, and my grandparents were very religious and were not too pleased that we were going to a Baptist church. But go we did. We were made to go to Sunday school morning and afternoons. We didn't always want to go, but go we did. And you had to be very ill not to be able to go. I remember one anniversary Sunday. We always had fantastic new clothes for anniversary Sunday. And I'd got this fantastic white dress with a beautiful embroidered bodice that I was absolutely looking so forward to wearing. And guess what? I was ill. I had measles and I couldn't go. And so I was so upset about it, and I began to think about God showing me the way always. You don't always get your own way, sorry. Hang on, I've lost me a bit. Later on in life, I went quite willingly to church, and I joined the Girls Brigade and a youth club, and I was even in a choir. And this meant I went willingly to church. There was always a feeling of not quite being complete. Later on in life, along came a man in the summer of 69, believe it or not. That young man changed my life. And 2 years, 2 months later, we got married. And then I actually came to live in Desborough because my husband was a true Desborian. Time moved on, and I didn't get to join another church, but I didn't feel that I needed to because I knew God was with me everywhere and could see everything I was doing. A long time later, I began to feel that I was missing something, but I didn't quite know what I was missing. After a good life and a very, very good marriage, God decided to take Alan for himself. I was left bereft. I was completely devastated. My daughters were absolutely brilliant, and they put up with me and all my moods and got me going again with the help from my elder sister and brother-in-law. A little while later, a very good friend came to see me and asked if going to church might help me. I said I had been thinking about it, and so we went. The reading that day happened to be from Ruth, and being a newly made widow, I didn't like what I heard, and I went home and I cried, and I said I didn't want to go again. Well, my good friend and God were not going to give up on me and to leave it there. So back came my good friend and asked if I would give the church another chance, and that Sunday the minister was one that he really, really did enjoy. The minister was Peter Strong.
And since that day, I have been coming regularly to this church. I work fantastically with the children, and I love all the support and all the love I've felt being here. And I have been welcomed here like I've never been made before, but I still didn't feel complete. And so where I am today, and I hope baptism is going to make me feel completely all at peace and everything else okay. And I'm waiting now to actually go in the water. Okay, thank you all for listening to my story.
Nick, do you want me before? Do you want me to do this?
The longer you stay in, the warmer it gets.
Bailey. So it's Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Trev, in light of your testimony and promises made, it is our great joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
For everyone who doesn't know me, my name is Isabella Nidi. I was born in July 1988 in a little village in Germany. I was born to quite young parents. I had three sisters, and my parents actually were the founders of a new branch of Reborn Christians. And this is how I grew up, in a very Christian family. Really enjoyed Sunday school every time, and it was a great childhood. Until in the age of 5, my parents separated. My father left the family, And it changed the whole atmosphere in the church and the status of the family, unfortunately. And it was particularly hard for my mom, because she still wanted us to go to church, of course, so she still took us, but it was quite difficult to see sometimes. We went to regular things like campfires with the church and everything. It was a great time, but as I was growing up to a young teen, I didn't feel happy anymore in the community, and I kind of recognized the difficulties that are in that community because of the status of my family that has changed so much, and I decided not to go anymore, which doesn't mean that I gave up on my faith. It just kind of led me away a little bit from church. A lot of things changed in my life, but my belief in Christ didn't change. And I have a very close relationship with my mom, who always supported me and often reminded me when it gets tough that I'm not alone and I should leave it to Jesus. My mom herself had a challenging time as a single mother of four girls, and but she's the strongest woman I know, so I really own everything to her. That's how I see it. And she often told me that her belief and trust in Jesus carried her through the tough times. And I can still see her in the kitchen blasting gospel songs, and especially the song that I was wishing for today, Shout to the Lord, is a very special song to us. And another important role played my grandma, who always encouraged me and who has such a good heart. She often lifted me up when things get tough for me, saying, Jesus loves you just the way you are. You don't need to be perfect. He loves you for who you are. And, yeah, in 2007, Elias was born, our eldest. He was a very, very lovely child. But being a very young mom and a young family, it was difficult sometimes. And I always felt the presence of someone, and I know it was Jesus. I kind of felt like he was the one standing on my back whenever it got tough. I tried to do things on my own, and believe me, it didn't work out very well. And whenever I had the feeling of wandering off, he kind of reeled me back in, And God was definitely working through me, and he was patient with me, very, very patient. Then, being a young family, we had a long-distance relationship, my husband David and me. And finally, we moved together in the end of 2011, whereby in the beginning of 2012, he was already gone again to army training here in the UK, whereby I was staying back in Germany. In 2012, we finally got married. And I'm grateful for the husband that God put next to me, who supported me every single day. And we moved into our first house together in the north of Germany. In 2013, Rosie was born. 7 weeks early, it was a difficult pregnancy, very difficult. And again, I trusted God. I trusted Jesus, and I know whatever comes to me, there is a reason for what is happening. And, well, another big change was moving to the UK in August 2015. Everything was different. Not just the language, I mean everything. And but it didn't last long, and another really big blow came towards me. In September 2015, my best friend's husband died of cancer in a very young age of 38. And this hit me quite hard. And I started questioning a lot of things in life. But surprisingly, it was my best friend herself that kind of helped me cope with it. We kind of carried each other through the whole process of grieving, and because she was very close to me as well as her husband. And she had a lovely support from her pastor and her church community. On my side, I was a little bit lost regarding church community. I couldn't find my community yet. And in 2017, we moved to Desborough. We didn't know anybody here, but we said, okay, let's give it a shot. But again, a big change for us from the army, safe army community to civilian life now. And unfortunately, we haven't been very lucky with neighbors. And it was a very stressful and, to be honest, horrible time for us. And I prayed very, very often to God to help us getting through it. Yeah, in 2019, our last addition to this family was born, Nora, and she completed the family. And she wasn't always an easy child, but we love her for the way she is. She's perfect as God made her. And in 2019, David, my husband, already also decided that it's time to get the kids into the church community. Hence, we didn't know anything, nobody really here. We said, okay, let's choose a church. And he chose this church. And he started coming with Elias and Rosie in the beginning. And I stayed back with Nora because she was still too little. In 2022, I came for my first visit to this church. And I instantly felt welcomed. I felt so happy. There's no word to describe how I felt entering here. And yeah, that's a bit of my story. And I decided to get baptized today because I want to feel complete. I officially want to declare the love I have for the Lord. And I want to follow him. I want to serve him. And I'm looking forward to the journey that I have with the Lord. And sorry, Nick, but you need to wait a little bit. I have a little poem that I want to read. It's just very short, but it's so important because it was actually a poster in the apartment that I grew up in. So I saw it every single day, and I thought it's so important for me to read it out. And I think maybe some people know it. It's called Footprints in the Sand. One night I dreamt I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the dark sky, flashed scenes from my life. From each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there were only one set of footprints. And this really troubled me. So I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed you the most, you would leave me. And the Lord whispered, my precious child, I love you and I will never leave you. Never ever during your trials and tests. When you only saw one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Now I'm ready.
So, Isabel, the Bible promise that we have for you is from Jeremiah 29, verse 11, and it says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope.
Isabel, in light of your testimony and promises made, it is our great joy to baptise you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Wasn't that beautiful? It is indeed, isn't it? For all of us here that have borne witness to their commitment to Christ, their public profession of their faith, let me remind you that we, as the fellowship that they belong to, have a responsibility to them to encourage them, to uphold them, and to travel on that great journey belonging to Jesus together. Of course, we have that. You look around at each other. We all have that responsibility to each other, to encourage, to love, to support as we travel on that journey. It's a tough life, isn't it? But together as fellowship, Jesus says, we will triumph with him. So we're going to stand and we're going to sing our last hymn together now. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's stand and sing. I just want to say that if any of you have witnessed the events of this morning, the baptisms, and maybe the Spirit has given you a nudge and said, hey, why haven't you been through the waters of baptism? Then I would say to this, don't walk out of here without talking to someone about it. Speak to someone. You can come and speak to me if you like. You can speak to Nick or any of the leadership team that are here. But don't let that voice go unanswered. Jesus is calling you. He loves you. He wants to know you. Heavenly Father, as we leave this place today, having witnessed those that have given their testimony about the work and the wonders that you have performed in their life, Lord, may we be built up and energized to leave this place as ambassadors of the gospel, Lord. May all that we meet and greet in our week see your light shining through our lives and be blessed by you, Lord Jesus. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please stay and have some refreshment. There'll be tea, coffee, and I don't know what else may be on the table. Now and again, we end up with a bit of cake if we're lucky. Have a blessed week.